Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome to Ed Arlene Spiritcast. If you're new to this podcast, we talk about all things related to mindfulness, magic, astrology, tarot, Reiki, meditation, anything in that realm. Today's episode is about runes.
Yeah, they are not to be toyed with.
Yeah, they are amazing, magical symbols, and I'm very passionate about them, so much so that I've been teaching about them. We did a Intro to Runes workshop a few months ago, and we're really excited because on Saturday, April 6th, we're doing an Intro to Rune Magic, and that's at Ceremonial in Pittsburgh.
Yep, Moon Studio.
Yes.
You can book your spot at the link below.
Yeah. Before we get into the episode, do you want to tell everybody where they can find us at?
So you can follow us over on Twitter at edpro_pgh. We still do tweet a lot. You can follow us over on Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook, pretty much everywhere at Ed Arlene. We are mainly active on Twitter and Instagram, so those are the best places to go follow us. And you can go to our YouTube channel and like and subscribe. We post Reiki infused videos multiple times a week. Go over there and get the juice. And you can go to our website, edarlene.com/Reiki, and sign up for our email list, and you will receive a free Reiki session on the first of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
And thank you to our patrons and people who donate. You guys really help us a lot. And if you like to help us, you can go to our store on edarlene.com/shop and purchase any of the things that we create. We have awesome oracle card decks and some amazing books that will change your life.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Also, at the end of every episode, we do infuse the music with Reiki. So if you'd like free Reiki at the end of this episode, just let the music play. Yeah.
Yeah. We always forget to say that.
We do.
So literally every single episode from all four seasons has Reiki infusion.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we'll get into it. Last week we had the Love Goddess workshop, and that was amazing. It was a really beautiful workshop. So if anybody's listening who attended, we want to thank you for coming out and supporting and performing that sacred, you know, ritual and everything with us. It was really good. And I know the rune one's going to be really powerful too. So runes, they're amazing. And you're starting to use that energy in your life.
I am, because you obviously you've studied the runes for a while now, and you've taught, this is going to be your second class that you're teaching about it. Like,
yeah.
You really have done a lot of study on it, but I've been very much so like, arm's length from it, because I didn't feel ready to take on anything else, but you were like, try this rune, and throughout like the past year of trying the runes and, you know, the rune forms and stuff, I've really seen the effect of them, like, quickly, extremely quickly. You cannot toy around with the power of the runes because it's very, very real.
Yeah. And so let's just talk about them. So the runes are a writing system connected to the Norse practice. And some people believe that they're just letters. But if you're a mystical being, they can be used for a lot of different things, including oracle and divination, as well as spells. And a lot of people treat runes, who don't know anything about runes, they treat them like they are just regular run-of-the-mill oracle cards. So in my practice and what I teach, runes are not a pick it up and just throw them around. They're actual like course of study. And I believe that with tarot as well. Tarot is a little bit different because tarot is a lot more versatile. And the runes are linked to a culture and, like, a practice. Mm-hmm. So you can't have Norse runes without learning the Norse mythology. And additionally, the Norse runes are, they each have an energy to them. So when working with the Norse runes, if you're serious about it, you're going to want to attune yourself to the energy of each one of those letters. And it's like that also with the Greek letters, which aren't as popular. And I'm going to say yet, because I feel like that's probably going to trend online.
Resurge, yeah.
Yeah, but there are a lot of sacred letters, Hebrew letters. We see Egyptian hieroglyphics used for oracle divination. And also there's the Ogham, which is like a Celtic practice, and that I'm not too familiar with, but it's also very much like lines.
Mm. Yeah, if you've seen some of those, I'm sure people have too. Like, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that is something I think is slowly gaining in popularity as we see the Celtic practice start to have like a resurgence in a way. But with the Norse runes, people are often tempted to pick ones like the popular ones are Algis and Fehu. And the reason why they're popular around social media is because Algis is a protection rune. And it's the one that looks almost like three branches coming up. But the runes have like a there's meaning, layered meaning behind all of them and layered energy. And you're actually warned in the Old Norse texts to not play around with the runes because of the power that they have. So basically, let's say Algis, you'll say, oh, draw it on you for protection. You don't know the Futhark at all. You don't know any of it. You don't have a rune practitioner who's assisting you with the runes. You're just picking it because you saw it on Pinterest and it says it's going to protect you. That doesn't mean it's going to protect you, because that rune represents protection from the gods. So you're asking the Norse gods to protect you. And that's a request.
Like, you got me, bro, right?
Yes, it's a request you are making to that Norse pantheon. So if you don't believe in them, if you don't work with them, if you don't respect is the biggest thing. So you don't necessarily have to be like, oh, I love the Norse gods, or oh, I work with them all the time. It's the respect. And how do you disrespect a pantheon? You don't acknowledge them. You don't acknowledge their culture. You don't acknowledge the work that you have put into like engaging with the things connected to it. So just because you draw Algis doesn't mean that those gods are going to protect you. Even people who do respect the Norse gods, it's a request that you're making. It's not, and then there's also a ton of formulas and runes that also represent protection, but they represent different types of protection. So there's a rune that's more like a shield. There's a rune that is more like offensive when it comes to protecting. There's formulas that are different in, this is a defensive formula. This is an offensive one. And then there's certain types are more aggressive. Some are more passive. And those are things you learn when you actually like work with the runes. So you learn which runes are the most effective.
Here's a question. I don't want to interrupt your thought, but do you think that people finding like Algis or whatever on Pinterest or Instagram or TikTok is just a way for them to see and like open them up to that?
Yeah.
To
that? I think it can be a gateway.
Yeah.
And it can also almost be the first thing that came to me would be like an initiation or a test to see what you do with that. So if you see that rune and you are inspired to learn more about it, that is the introduction to that. But then the runes, they have like it's believed they have spirits connected to them. So they will come to people that they feel would be receptive to it. And then from there, they can choose to work with them or not. Mm-hmm. And then it's said when you lose interest that the runes have decided that you are not fit to read them. And that's not to be mean. It just means that you've not respected that practice.
Yeah, well, sometimes things aren't for everybody.
Exactly. And that's true with all practices. Not everything
just
is
like
for you.
Just like someone might want to read tarot and might not follow through with it because it's not necessarily...
It doesn't resonate, and that's fine.
And that's fine. Like, you don't have to stick with certain things if it's not where you're at anymore.
Yeah, you have to be the seeker. I always believe you should be the seeker. There's a lot of things that I thought I was going to be interested in. I explored and then I decided it didn't resonate with me. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't want to give that practice 110. Like, I was fine knowing about it but not having to be a master in it.
Yeah.
And that is completely okay. So you can like pick up the runes and dabble and then decide that it's not for you. It's too much. It's too aggressive, it's to this or to that. Or you just don't, you want something more, like you want like oracle cards that have more beautiful imagery, and then the runes are more, you know, it's letters, and that's something that I like because I like working with letters. I like being able to formulate those spells based off of the letters. But the runes look the way they do because it's said that nature speaks to you. So you can, like, learn the runes and then go on nature hikes or move around your city. And whenever you see one pop out, that's nature, that's life, that's the energy of the rune talking to you and giving you a message, which is really fun. Like, you could be having a bad day and then you, like, happen to see Solilo and you're like, everything will be okay. And it could just be the branches, the way they're shaped, mm-hmm. it's in that rune.
It's funny, I don't know what the rune is, this yeah. one, these two, but the, yeah. I saw that on my gas, like, pedal.
Yeah. Yeah,
what does that
so,
mean? What is, which ones are picked, those? I'm sorry, I'm looking at his notebook. She has, like, a...
I have like, yeah. rune formulas up, but she was seeing Othala and Aang, and Othala is connected to, like, inheritance and Odin and long-term, like, family connections, that type of thing. And Aang is, like, Ingua, as some people call it. That's another thing. The runes have multiple names to them. But that one's about, like, fertility and things that you're birthing, and among other meanings, but it could represent, like, you are creating something, birthing something, and it'll give you long-term wealth, long-term, or something that is your birthright. So they're both very, like, cool runes. And, yeah, so that's something we talk about in the class. We talk about how to initiate a relationship with the runes. And then the importance of learning about the mythology and the history of the runes, and then moving into the magic. So with the rune magic class, we're going to talk about the Norse practice has a lot of different magical systems. Like, a really popular one is Seder magic. Mm-hmm. They all are different. And we're going to touch in on those so we know, like, what they are. And among those magic practices is rune magic. And then we'll talk about how to engage with that, how to establish a working relationship with the runes, and how to connect in with the energy of the runes. And then if you choose the gods, not everybody who... So Thomas McNeagle, we talk about the runes in one of our future... We just recorded an episode with him, and he talks about them because he's coming to do a workshop in Pittsburgh. Now, he likes the primal energy of the runes and the spirits of the runes more than... engaging with the deities that are connected with the runes. So that's, like, an option too, but you're not going to negate the all-encompassing, like, culture and the spirits as a whole that are linked to them. And everybody's going to learn them differently. But one of the popular thing, or not popular, one of the methods that I teach is that you want to learn the energy of each one of the runes. And it's a slow process. Learning the runes is slow. It's not supposed to be rushed. It's said that you will never be a master at it. And then we, like, talk about each day. So every day you journey, you meditate with the runes. So there's two ways people can do it. Thomas teaches to go to the primal energy of the rune. Or you can have the deity or spirit. It doesn't have to be a popular Norse, you know, mythology, just so many spirits connected within that, you know. But let's say you have a guide, a Norse guide, they can take you and teach you the runes as well. But regardless, you go through each rune and then you wear that rune so you can feel how the energy feels in your life. That way you can work with it. That way you can work with it in a longer formula, because one rune itself is powerful enough in regards to magic. And I give you an example of how the energy of the runes work. They and why they say you be careful with them is that you set parameters around it whenever you're doing the spell. But that rune is going to go beeline it, easiest route. So a lot of people say angels are hard to work with because they're like that. This is what you want. I'm going to get you there. You want money? Okay, all this stuff's going to fall away. That's not money related. And, oh, you lost your job because you have to get a better job.
Yeah,
you
know? If you're asking for something more from recurrence, things have to be... torn apart, shaken up to get you there.
It'll malachite. You know, everybody's like, oh, malachite. You know.
That's, like, one of the things I think about the angels. That's what I think about. It's like, that is, like, malachite.
Yeah. And then the other thing with the runes is that the combinations of them, they also say to be careful for. So there's this old story within the, you know, the old Nordic text, and it talks about how this person was using a rune formula because they were sick, and then they end up having a rune master come in, they look at the formula, they're like, this formula is not helping you, it's making it worse. Fix the formula, and then the person gets better. So that's another reason why they say to be careful when you're like, there's no rush to blend the runes together. Yeah, they might look cool when you have them as bind runes and all of that, but you don't have to rush to get there. You can just pick a rune and have it do what it needs to do in your life. And that's something that I recommend people do whenever they want to learn with it. Learn with them is learn from the runes. So you're going to meditate on each one. And you're like, oh, I can't meditate. Well, if you want to learn the runes, that's what you're going to have to do.
Maybe that's the first assignment is figuring out how to meditate.
How can I get into that space where I can connect with the energy of that rune? And that can be the first, like you said, the first assignment. And that's all you're doing. So you can connect in and intuitively.
I know we always say this throughout the podcast, but it's very, very valid. Like, just take the time to try to figure out how you can get to that point.
Yes, yes.
Like, that should be the starting point. Like, figure that out first and then start.
It's like that with all magic. And people will argue because they do not want to put the work into that. They don't want to put the work into a practice.
That's what's funny to me. Like, every time we bring it up in, like, group settings or whatever, people always get, like, weird and aggressive about it. Like, I can't quiet my mind. Well, that's the first challenge, man.
Yeah, or sometimes, so, you just have to observe. Like, you don't have to even, I was talking to somebody recently, and I was like, just observe it. If you can't, you don't have to make it stop. Sometimes there's stuff in the mind. Like, sometimes those things you're saying, there's something there to learn from.
Like, if you can't stop thinking of a blue bird, there might be an indicator for that blue bird that you need to look up and see where that takes you. Like, there's purpose to every single thing.
Just be the observer.
Yeah.
Oh, I have chronic pain, and I meditate. And sometimes I have to observe the pain. Mm-hmm. I just observe it and sit in it. And it's like that with emotions, too, when you meditate. You're sad. Just be sad. You're not forcing anything. That's the whole point. You're not forcing. We go on forever about meditation. But what I'm saying is that you have to be able to get into that space where you can connect with the energy of the rune. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter if you're on Fehu, which is the first one. And somebody must need to work with that rune because I keep bringing it up.
Okay, here's a question. I don't know if we talked about the runes before in the podcast, like how to get started with them, but if someone is interested in the runes and they feel like they're calling to them, what would be a good like starting point besides what we just referenced, like the meditation portion? Like, what would be, if you were constantly seeing, like I was or whatever, what would be the first step for them?
Okay, so let's say you're seeing a rune everywhere, and you can either start with that specific rune and figure out what it means and just deep dive, even if it's in the middle, even if it's like you said, so this rune is in the middle of it. So the way the runes are set up, they're in 3/8. So the first one is Fehu, Udu, Surisaz, Ansus, Raido, Kenaz, Gebo, Wanjo. You know, you could just start with that the first set.
Yeah.
If you wanted, or like I said, you could start with your new rune, but let's just say you want to master that first 8, you know, that's what you can do. Go through each one of those runes, learn it, learn each one, learn what they mean, meditate with it, learn what it is coming to you, but also you're going to do research, a ton of research, read. The thing with the runes and their meanings is that it's a reconstructive practice. So you can have your own kind of meanings in it, but you're also going to research what the consensus is for it. And one thing I have to say is that you have to be very mindful whenever you're doing your research, because there are authors who are not good people, who a lot of the prominent ones, you do not want to support them. Certain like forums and stuff, you just want to make sure you don't get caught up in the Nazi current.
Yeah, that has any of the hatred and weirdness.
Yeah, you can tell. So a lot of people who are not good people who talk about the runes, they often will really hype their heritage a lot. And that doesn't mean that you are like not acknowledging that you might have that type of background. But like if they're really intense about it being like a white people thing, like, okay, there are a lot of white people who are not of the Germanic, you know,
lineage whatsoever.
Whatsoever. Okay, so when you're seeing like all these people who are like, God, Viking, da da da, and they're not really matching the historical stuff. A lot of like really intense stuff about Odin is another sign.
That makes me laugh about the Viking stuff. Is like that was just an action. That wasn't the culture. That was just an activity.
Yeah.
That wasn't the Germanic people.
Yeah.
In any way, but you can clearly see the red flags with some of the authors and these groups. So as soon as you start seeing like
folk-ish,
extreme Odinist stuff,
yeah,
trust yourself and trust.
Yeah.
Your guidance, but
a lot of misogyny will be in those groups. Also, they're not accepting of anyone who's different. Anybody can read the runes. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what your nationality is. If they call to you, they call to you. It doesn't matter if you're a female, a male, anywhere
doesn't
in between.
Matter.
The Norse gods will love you. They will accept you. They do not care at all. So if you get on anything that is telling you that you can't do it because you're not X, Y, or Z, get off of it.
Run.
Just run. And it's tragic that that's happened, but I think that it's beautiful. A lot of diverse people are getting into the runes.
I think it's beautiful that there's been so much of a resurgence of all this.
Yes.
And
yeah.
It's extremely accessible. You can go into most places, Barnes & Noble, most magic stores, even Amazon, and get started on your journey. It's very accessible.
Yeah. But, you know, once you learn the runes, then you can start playing around with, like, the formulas. So if you're wanting to engage in rune magic, really excited about doing it, you can do them one rune at a time. So you don't, like I said, you can carve that once you know those runes, you can carve it into a candle. You know, you can do stuff with them. You're already engaging with their energy as you're learning them. But the formulas are going to be like where you're kind of putting them together. And then the bind runes, I tell people to do later because you can accidentally add runes in that you didn't intend because of their shapes. And I'm not really big on using bind runes. I like the formulas better, and that could be a personal preference.
Yeah.
If you're called to whatever you're called to, that's fine. But the most important thing, I think, at the end of the day is do your research, respect the runes, respect the rune spirit.
Take your time.
Take your time and respect the mythology that comes along with it. And there is no rush at all. But I think that's all I have on
it. Yeah, so if you are in our area and would like to come vibe and learn about the runes on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah.
April 6th, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
April 6th, it's at noon.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how to work with runes in a magical sense. And I'm excited.
Link down below. All right, let's get into the Reiki.